Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Last night, the White House Correspondents' Dinner got abruptly canceled after a shooter sprinted into the lobby and then was subsequently tackled to the ground and arrested. Now, we don't have much information as the investigation is just beginning, but I am in D.C. I was in the hotel lobby about 10 minutes before this shooting took place. I was at a pre-event for Politico, talking to new media people. We were chatting. I was in this exact lobby. And then I Uber out to go to a Substack party, ironically enough, which is the event we're on now. The Substack party was the counter programming to the actual dinner. So if you, you know, didn't want to go to that and you wanted to have your own voice with new media, you go to Substack. And while we were there, while we were at this party, literally just like 5 minutes from where that shooting happened, 5 minutes away, right? I get a call from my grandpa while I'm with a bunch of friends in a circle. And he goes, "Have you seen what's happened on TV? Go check." And I was like, "No, what happened at the dinner?" I thought, you know, Trump said something really crazy, or I thought that maybe he attacked some journalist verbally in some crazy way. And I said, "No, what happened?" And he goes, "There are men with long rifles standing on stage right now, and something just happened. There was just some sort of shooting." And I go, "No way. You're lying." So I tell my friend group, and we look around, and nobody else in the Substack event knew yet. Nobody else knew except for us. It was kind of like that meme where the guy's in the corner of the party, and he's like, "Nobody else knows that this happened, right?" But for real, we were like, nobody really has realized. So the vibe was kind of eerie for a second. Then people start getting pinged. Then I'm walking up to people like, "Have you heard what happened?" And they're like, "No, what happened?" So we're talking about it. Then we learn nobody is allowed in or out of the party. We learned that the party is closed off, ours, the Substack one. Nobody allowed in, nobody allowed out. So for like an hour, we're all just trying to figure out what happened. Of course, there were conflicting reports saying the gunman was dead. He's not dead. Maybe there's two. As we've learned, the gunman is still alive. He was a teacher from California, and the motive is still being figured out. I mean, it's likely he was either attacking journalists or trying to attack cabinet members. I personally do not think this was staged. As somebody that was there, I just don't know how you possibly, number one, convince somebody to run in and ruin their life. Number two, what's the idea here that Kash Patel was able to soberly put together a plan that was not going to get caught, even though him and Trump and Todd Blanche can't even, you know, do a simple Epstein release, can't even go to war without it being insane? I think that it was very real. I think Occam's Razor says the simpler answer is the better. There was somebody who is very likely a little radicalized, very radicalized, and was willing to give up his life for this. And he ran in. A lot of people are asking me, if there was so much security, how did he get in there? He didn't get in. He sprinted in as fast as he could, and he immediately got taken down and tackled to the ground and shot at. He did not get into the security. He did not get through it. He wasn't even close to it, by the way. The dinner was happening two levels below where this guy ran in. It just wasn't even close. And I think that if you're saying it was staged, I think you're jumping to some wild conclusions. We'll get there as well. Sorry, I'm yapping a lot here. I just want to continue to run through my thoughts. Then all these videos come out that I want to run through as well. Someone said, "Lost my respect for Adam." I'm sorry, if you're just jumping to conclusions that it was staged when we really don't know much, and your idea is that Kash Patel is out there masterminding a scheme, then you're like one step away from just dropping down all conspiracy theories. Let's just be rational about it. But there's videos of Kash Patel absolutely terrified. I'm going to play these videos on screen in the YouTube version. Kash Patel is standing there looking around, absolutely terrified. Like, he doesn't know what's going on. This is our FBI director. We have Donald Trump being escorted off stage after J.D. Vance. I'm going to play this clip right here. As you can see, J.D. Vance is being escorted off of the stage. And then most people miss this, but Donald Trump ended up falling over and tripping after, which is pretty intense for an old president to be doing. Then you see RFK Jr. dipping off stage and leaving his wife behind. You see admin officials being incredibly, incredibly frantic about it. And then, you know, Caitlin Collins from CNN did a really good job. She was one of the first people on air in CNN. She was going up to the security guards and the people asking them what happened. While everyone in the room was rather shaken and couldn't figure out what was going on, I saw the clips of Caitlin Collins being like the only person going around, figuring it out, then hopping on air to talk about it. So overall, an incredibly insane experience. I think that when we're in DC fighting for freedom of speech, freedom of press, and fighting against illiberal authoritarian ideologies, And now we're in a position where somebody is trying to enact illiberal violence towards a president who is illiberal himself and would take away the media in 1 second. It's all insane. It's all despicable. We need to return to a better America. But I want to say really quickly, if you appreciate the work that Mike Nellis and I do, make sure you hit the heart. Make sure you subscribe to our Substack feed. Become a free or paid member. We are pushing every single day for a better democracy. Someone said Stephanie Ruhle seemed really shaken up. Yes, this was a very real thing for a lot of people. I know that it's very easy to be online and say, yep, it was so incredibly staged. But what you're implying there is that like Kash Patel and Donald Trump were competent enough to put together some task force to find this guy so he would give up his entire life to just run into the lobby and not make it anywhere close to two floors down. Like, I just don't. Yeah. Sorry, Mike. I know that you have a lot to say.
No, there's a bunch of stuff to say here, and hopefully we'll get a chance to get into all of it. I think the first thing is I'm glad everybody's okay. And that includes Trump, and that includes Vance, and that includes all the journalists in that room. And I think especially for a lot of the journalists in the room, if you listen to like the coverage on CNN, like there were people who weren't there, but were in the studio, like SC Cup, who were really shaken up about it. And I think it's because it's dangerous out there to be a journalist right now. People have faced violence. We've had journalists who have been murdered. We have people who get death threats all the time. People like you and I get death threats all the time. I became a gun owner because I got a death threat from Laura Loomer herself via DM. Like, not to make it about me. It's just like, it is not an okay time, and America is sick. And I think that I'm glad that they're okay. And I want to add this too, because part of the reason I'm glad that they're okay is, one, political violence is never okay. And it's not how we should be dealing with our with the disagreements that we have here, the corruption that we see. But like, I want every single one of them to live to the end of this, because I want to prosecute the shit out of them. And I want to make that super clear, is that like, I don't want Donald Trump to be shot by some random crazy person with a gun in a ballroom on live TV. I want him in an orange jumpsuit for the crimes that he's committed. I want the same for the rest of them. And I'm, you know, so there's that. The second thing is on staged. I don't think it makes any sense for this to have been staged. Like, I just don't. Now, that's with the available information that I have right now. I wouldn't put any of that past them, because like, we've seen what they lie about. I'll never get over the fact that they tried to argue that Donald Trump was an FBI informant designed to take down Jeffrey Epstein, and that's why he's in the files. Like, they lied about that for like a solid 72 hours until people were like not buying it, and so they just dropped that talking point. But they lie about everything. And so I don't buy that this was staged. He was two floors up. He wasn't even close. And by the way, I think this is a moment where we all need to be a lot more discerning about who we listen to online. And you should be discerning about MAGA influencers, but also influencers on the left. You should be discerning about Adam and I, okay? Because neither of us is perfect. And I think what pisses me off right now, and I was ranting to you about this last night, but also this morning before we hit live, is like, you have a ton of MAGA influencers on the right who didn't know anything about what had happened. They didn't know anything about the shooter. They didn't know if anybody was dead. They didn't know what was going on. And they were immediately like, the Democrats are trying to murder our president. He survived more assassination attempts. This is why we need to build the fucking ballroom. And we know that they all have like a big signal group where the White House drops talking points in. And that means within moments of that shooting, somebody in that, Dan Scavino or whoever the hell it is, by the way, Scavino was the one who tried to start the USA chant right after the shooting, which was also super weird. And, you know, they're all just like coordinating on like how best they can use that. And the rest of us are acting like human beings. Because my reaction to this shit was not, how do I use this to get more engagement? I got to get a YouTube video up. No, it was like, holy shit, I hope nobody's dead. Because that's my reaction to it. But there were a lot of influencers on the MAGA movement that were like, I got to juice my creator rewards. I got to attack the Republican, or I got to attack the Democrats. I got to get my shit out. And like, that just pisses me off. But then I'm also going to call out some folks on the left, because the, is this staged? Let me spread conspiracy theories. Let me attack. They were attacking Kash Patel. They were attacking Secret Service. And again, all of this is happening in the immediate aftermath of a very chaotic and scary situation where we don't know anything about what happened. And look, maybe there will be information that comes out that doesn't make sense, that makes you think that this is staged. Butler is a little bit like that. I don't really believe Butler was staged, but I do believe they're lying about aspects of it. But everybody needs to take a deep breath and not necessarily rush to the immediate judgment, because the first things that get tweeted are never right. They reported that the shooter was dead. They reported that there were multiple shooters. They reported that like other people had been shot, and all, none of that turned out to be true. And it's just, everybody's got to take a deep breath and tone that down. And I can only speak for myself, and Adam, I know you to be somebody of like high moral character, is like, try to find the people that are just going to be honest with you about what they think is going on. And even when you disagree with them, like, I think it's fine. We're not going to agree all the time, but I'm not going to play this game. It would be so much easier for me to grow as a creator if I shot a video last night about it being staged and just running with the conspiracy theories or running with like the attacks on the Secret Service last night, which I thought were gross. And I'm going to give Donald Trump like a modicum of credit, because when he gave his press conference last night, I thought it was going to be insane. Like, I thought he would do what he did with Charlie Kirk, and he didn't do that. Like, he just kind of, it was for him, I want to be clear, we're grading him on a curve, guys, but for him, it was relatively normal and measured, which also makes me think it was probably real, because I think if it was staged, he would have used it for more than just the ballroom. Like, staging this to like justify building a ballroom is really, really stupid. Adam, I'll hand it back to you. Oh, you're muted, buddy.
Oh, this is the strongest evidence they say it was staged. Someone in the chat said, but the press secretary literally said there would be shots fired before that. I'm sorry, guys. That is not evidence. That was Caroline Levitt using a turn of speech. She was using a phrase. Yeah. She was not planting evidence for us in Substack to figure out. Either way, moving on.
It's the same thing. Cause like people are saying, like, why did they take Vance before they took Trump? They took them at the same time. Like, you're watching a video where like the Secret Service has their protocol and the agents responsible for getting Trump went to get Trump and the other ones went to get Vance. Yep. Vance just got off the stage faster. Like, mm-hmm. And then they came back to get the cabinet member. So like, you are like picking apart a very chaotic situation. And then I frankly think all the people, and there are a lot of people I know and love who were posting the Caroline Levitt clip for saying shots are going to be fired during Trump's speech. It's just cheap engagement bait, guys. Like, she was clearly not leaving an Easter egg for us. Sorry, take it back, Adam.
No. I mean, moving on from the stage conversation, I think it was really important to plant our stake right there. And I saw someone in chat actually say, Adam, I didn't realize that they weren't even close to the room until now. I'm starting to rethink it because, like, this person thought it was staged because they thought the person got into the actual dinner. The person wasn't even close. It actually wasn't even really that much of a security failure. I mean, the guy started sprinting in. Within 5 seconds, he's taken down.
Based on all the information, they did exactly what they were supposed to do.
Yeah. I think, honestly, guys, crazy people in the world do exist that do this. The president's a crazy person. He riles a lot of people up. This shit does happen. It really does. So moving on from that, last night was supposed to be a celebration of the tradition of freedom of speech and freedom of press. I can't speak.
It's been a long night for everybody.
Dude, I stayed up till 5 a.m. after the shooting, and now it's 10 a.m. So we're already back on it. I've got another brunch to head to in a bit, and then I'm flying back home. But man, it was supposed to be a celebration of the freedom of press, and all we got was more illiberal action from not only the press, but from people like Donald Trump, who would happily attack the press in that room. There's so much to this that I find very interesting. It is wild to see J.D. Vance's reaction, the frantic situation, the frantic nature of it all, the video of Donald Trump falling to the ground. I know that the situation was chaotic, but I just think it's very, very, I mean, listen, Trump is old and he is frail. And if Biden had done the same thing, whenever Biden had like slightly tripped, it was massive headlines. And this old, frail president tripped over, fell on the ground, and they all had to pick him up. It seems like he can't move at a fast pace. And there are now, you know, more reports. There's more information kind of spreading about the shooter, about the guy who allegedly did this. And it just seems very interesting. Listen, radicalization is a real problem in America right now. So Cole Thomas Allen, a 31-year-old teacher from California on the ground, surrounded by law enforcement officers, apparently he took the train all the way to DC in order to do this. And he had a plot. He had a plan.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. You're handing it back to me. I mean, let's talk about radical. I want to talk about two things, which is like radicalization. And then I want to talk about this idea that the violence is only coming from the left, from the MAGA influencers, because they're insane when they say this shit, in my opinion. But like, you know, radicalization is, we have like the perfect storm of a series of problems here in America today, is you have a ton of disaffected young men who are lonely and isolated and spending all their time on the internet with easy access to guns. No mental health care infrastructure, no understanding of how to build an economy that works for young men. Young men are getting, I don't think people really know this, young men are getting killed in this economy. If you are under 30 right now, you are making less money on average than women of the same age. You are significantly less likely to own a home. You are significantly less likely to start a business. You are significantly less likely to have gone to college. So there is just a huge, huge problem. Then you tack on the fact that you have, you know, creators and influencers that are out there just spreading bullshit information, and politicians that are spreading bullshit information and running people into the ground. And that includes the president of the United States. He is responsible for this as much as anybody. And I think it's just a real problem. And nobody wants to have that conversation. Like, nobody wants to address it. Nobody wants to do anything about gun violence or mental health or anything else. And to me, it's like what happened when we learn more, what we're ultimately going to find out is young, disaffected man went down an internet rabbit hole, became hyperfixated on something and went after and did something that he shouldn't have done. That's going to be, it's what, almost like 100% of the time, it is always that. And then you can control for certain factors, but it's always that. That's what it's going to be. We're not going to have a combo on guns. We're not going to have a convo on mental health. We're not going to have a convo on anything else. We didn't have it after Kirk was assassinated, okay? And you remove all the noise for a second. It was basically young, disaffected man gets access to a gun, shoots Charlie Kirk, okay? Because he became obsessed with Kirk. Melissa Hortman wasn't a young man and was a Trump supporter. It was an older guy. But like still basically the same thing, right? Like these people are crazy and they have access to guns. And then there's no mental health care infrastructure. There's no way for people to be able to flag these folks in advance. Because we'll also find out, very likely, that he told somebody this, that there was some other incident. It's usually never just like one incident. Like people don't crack like that. Very rarely is it something like that. And so I think we need to be mindful of that. But then there's a secondary thing, which is like, if I open up my ex account on my phone right now, it's going to be like Michael Knowles and Tommy Lahren being like, the bullets are only flying one way. The left is violent, blah, blah, blah. So like, let's talk about that. Cause I want your reaction to this. Cause it's just, this kept me up at night. All mad. Like, they're going to talk about this and they're going to say that the left has tried to assassinate their president at least 3 times. They're not trying to argue it's been like 10 times. I don't know. But, you know, they will never say Melissa Hortman's name. Melissa Hortman was the Minnesota legislator who, along with her husband, was assassinated by a Trump supporter. They will not talk about the potential kidnapping of Gretchen Whitmer. They will not talk about the attacks on Ilhan Omar or AOC. They won't talk about all the Democratic Party headquarters that have had bullets shot at them. They won't talk about all the headquarters that have had bricks thrown through their walls with like messages about MAGA and Trump and shit like that. They will not talk about January 6th. They will not talk about Charlottesville. And on the last two, when they talk about that, when there is very clear political violence that comes from the right, they concoct a conspiracy theory to weasel their way out of taking responsibility for it. So with Charlottesville, which was almost 10 years now, which is what the launching point of Nick Fuentes, who built this whole Groyper movement around being there and being held accountable for that. They've been arguing for years that it was a peaceful rally filled with very fine people on both sides, yada, 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 that nothing was wrong. And now the entire FBI and DOJ are indicting the Southern Poverty Law Center based on a conspiracy theory that they are propping up hate groups because they're paying informants inside those hate groups to report on what they are doing. And they were reporting that information to the FBI to understand those organizations and to understand what they were doing and who they were going to hurt. But now they're saying, well, the Southern Poverty Law Center planned all of Charlottesville, which means that the left is actually propping up all our hate and there's no right-wing hate groups. There's no right-wing hate. So there's that. Then on January 6th, which is the other clearest example of hate on the right and violence on the right, they say, well, there were undercover FBI agents in the crowd. And because there were undercover FBI agents in the crowd, the FBI planned the entire thing. But it was also a day of love. It was a day of peace. Nothing bad happened. Donald Trump wasn't trying to cite an erection.
Oh my Lord. We're really tired today. We're really tired today.
Sleeping in a hotel room, 6-year-old kid, it moves every 5 minutes.
We're real tired today.
He's trying to incite an insurrection and they can't keep their story straight, but it's disgusting. And the truth is, if you just look at the statistics, violence from the right is far more likely by a significant margin, but there's also violence on the left. And there are people on the left who say things that are violent. There are clips of like Hassan Piker, and you can feel whatever you want about him, saying some pretty horrible shit about our political enemies. And I don't like stuff like that. You'll never hear me talk like that. But we should call it all out. And we should be trying to work together to solve this stuff because we have a sick country with a bad economy and shitty leaders. And we should be trying to solve this. But instead, everybody's rushing on Twitter because the incentive structure is broken. So you get more followers and more money and more engagement if you go, it was fake or the left did it. Or I will, you know, like that Matt Van Schwole guy that's on X, who's like a fucking con artist. Like he woke up this morning, he was like, I went to bed angry. I woke up angry and the left is trying to kill my president. And I'm like, in hell, these people have no original thoughts at all. None. And I'm so tired of this bullshit.
Dude, it was pissing me off so...
They burned down Josh Spiro's house. Thank you, the people in the comments. Like, they burned down... They tried to burn down Josh Spiro's house.
Yep. Exactly. It was pissing me off so much when they're like, I think we really need to talk about the rhetoric coming from the left. And it's like, are we effing serious here? Go fuck yourself. There's a radicalized person who is basically a nobody doing this. And every single Democrat in office, every single Democratic influencer will immediately come out and condemn this and say political violence is bad. on the other side of that, the Republican Party is led by somebody whose entire cabinet is full of the most hyperbolic, sensationalist, apocalyptic people possible. The way that Stephen Miller and Donald Trump speak about their political opponents is as if they don't want the Democratic Party to exist. Stephen Miller says the Democratic Party is not a real political party. It is a domestic extremist organization.
They call us terrorists.
They say that we're terrorists. And then when some random guy walks in or I guess sprints into this hotel lobby, apparently he represents the entire left. I'm sorry, but no. Genuinely, MAGA supporters that think that can go fuck themselves. The president, like 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, made fun of Rob Mueller right after he passed away.
Yep.
The president 2 months ago made fun of Rob Reiner and basically danced on his grave right after Rob Reiner passed away as well, or was actually brutally murdered by his kid, which makes it even worse. So we have one side of the aisle that is led by people who constantly want to escalate to the highest levels. And then we have Democrats who are actually quite like weak and feckless. Like, what's the theory here that Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are radicalizing people into doing this shit? No. I mean, Democrats are rather boring. Oh, okay, so then they could be like, oh no, the far lefties, like AOC. What? AOC is very, very sweet, personable. She's somebody who's not going to, I think, call for political violence. The Democratic Party is so much more responsible with our rhetoric. It also kind of goes back to what you were saying. You open up Twitter and people are just spreading so much disinformation. Laura Loomer is saying this guy's a registered Democrat. Turns out that's false. Turns out they're lying. So kind of going back to the stage things, two things can be true at once. Is this administration and the MAGA influencers, are they going to lie and take advantage of this and use this to their maximum advantage? Obviously, of course. But that doesn't mean like the impetus, the entire groundwork of it was laid out by Kash Patel while he was drinking at a bar with his eyes crossed. I just don't see it like that.
No, and the point I will make is...
Wait, we're really sorry to cut you off. Take a moment and support independent commentary if you appreciate what Mike and I are doing. Mike and I put a lot of work into these live streams about two times a week. And then we also post them on YouTube after. We live, breathe, and survive with you guys on independent media. So if you want to become a free subscriber on Substack, it is free. And if you want to help support us in growing our team, then you can become a paid subscriber as well. Back to you, Mike. Sorry about that.
Yes. Well, the point I make about the Republicans all the time, and I've been saying this like since the Obama years, because they had this idea of Barack Obama that did not jive with reality of who he was, right? Like to them, and we should remind people that Donald Trump thought that Barack Obama was like a Muslim born in Kenya. So like, I just think it's important that we remind people that Donald Trump is a conspiracy theorist at heart, but I call it running against ghosts. Like they run against ghosts. They create an image of us, of who we are and what we say and what we believe in, and then they run against that. And when we're fucking up and the economy is not good, or we've got the situation with Joe Biden, it works for them because people are mad at us. But then regular people are like, what are you guys talking about? Like, because they're not being normal. So like, they're all on X right now. They think they're winning on X because they're getting cheap engagement from a million Russian bots about how bad we all are. But the average American like is watching basketball. Like they wanted the NBA game back on. They were done the minute they found out that nobody had been hurt. They moved on like normal people do. And it's disgusting and it drives me nuts. And the other thing is like you mentioned Loomer. Loomer is the Joker to my Batman, or I'm Batman or Joker, depending on your POV. But like, you know, she tweeted at me last night of an older tweet where I was reminding them that they have a lot of Nazis inside the Republican Party. And I had said something that was like this. I think I was on News Nation, but it was when his name, Paul Ingracia, was the guy.
Yep, Paul Ingracia.
Like, talking about having a Nazi streak. He still works in the admin, by the way. He's just not a
he was using slurs from like the 1700s.
Yeah, right. He's like, well, by the way, there was a video of Michael Knowles going around where he was like, hey, everybody, let's tell our favorite slur. Like, he was like, let's tell our favorite racial slur. And then he was like using one from like the 1600s and he thought he was being clever. And Ben Shapiro sitting there going,
slippery slope.
But you know, I got brought on TV to talk about Paul Ingracia, and I said something that was basically like, if you'd like me to stop calling the Republican Party and not, if you'd like to, if the Republicans want to stop being called Nazis, maybe they should stop hiring them. And she was like, whoa, Mike Nellis is inciting violence against the president. And be like, no, I'm not. You guys have Nazis inside your party. Okay. Like you do. And like, you know, and then people, and I didn't respond to her, but then other people were like, Mike doesn't have anything to say about Graham Plattner having a Nazi tattoo, which isn't even remotely the same. But like, it's just like, it's so ridiculous. And by the way, I have spoken out about the tattoo that Graham Plattner has. I think that tattoo is ridiculous. It gives me a lot of pause about the guy. Okay. He's still going to win that primary no matter what I do. But like, it's just ridiculous. And there's a group of people in this country, and it's Laura Loomer, and it's Riley Gaines, and it's Tommy Lahren, and it's all these people who know original thoughts It's the same shit all the time. And the minute that Donald Trump leaves office or dies, whichever comes first, they become immediately irrelevant because they have nothing. Then there's like a different batch of influencers that are like running with it, and they'll be around after because they have some originality to it, even if I think they're ridiculous. That's what like Shapiro will still be around after. But like Loomer is gone the minute this is. So when you see them online, the way they're reacting, they're like robbing a bank. Okay. Like they have like 5 minutes until the cops show up and they're putting as much money in their bag as they can so they can hit the getaway car because they are gone. Gone January 2029. We will never see them again. We'll never hear from a lot of them again. And thank God they'll go live on a private island somewhere with all the fucking money they've made and hopefully just leave people alone. But very few, they're just disgusting. Just disgusting. I'm just tired of it.
I think that's a good place to end it. You said a bit ago, you know, you touched on the radicalization piece. And I guess I want to end it there because I have, you know, experienced with a lot of my young friends this sort of online rabbit hole. Not obviously not the type of radicalization we're seeing in like Thomas Matthew Crooks or the Charlie Kirk shooter. But no, young people are struggling due to a few compounding factors. Already social media was making it very, very hard. Already wealth inequality was making it very, very hard in like 2019. But imagine how much the COVID pandemic made many, many young people build this bubble around themselves. People of all ages building this bubble, staying inside all the time. And a lot of people didn't tear down that bubble after. I had to make a very intentional effort to go get outside more, to hang out more, to go on dates more, to talk to more girls. And then I bounced back socially, but a lot of people did not bounce back socially. A lot of people continue to go further and further down these rabbit holes. There's a photo of the Charlie Kirk shooter. Why can't I speak today? Neither of us can speak. Tyler Robb.
It's Sunday. We're supposed to be our day off.
Yeah. I was going to make another erection joke, but I'll save it for later.
That's going to get clipped. It's going to get clipped and it's going to be used against me at some point.
It's honestly pretty hilarious. But either way, there's a clip.
You know what the worst part is? It's not the first time I've done that either.
There was a photo of Tyler Robinson from like 2010 when he got his first laptop as like an 8-year-old. And my mom sent that to me, or I sent it to her, and we were like, dude, that's like a parallel to me. That could have been me, basically. I got my first laptop at 9. I was playing the same video games at 9, except I took a path where I built a company and built a business so I can be here with all of you beautiful people. He obviously took a much darker path. He was radicalized online. He was radicalized in these deep, deep rabbit holes that get brought down. It happens to people on the far, far right all of the time, sometimes on the far, far left as well. People get radicalized into being apathetic and thinking they can take lives. And it's really bad. So when you have COVID basically exacerbating this algorithmic problem of people being sucked in to this outrage machine, then you have foreign and domestic actors creating more outrage. Think about people like Donald Trump creating outrage. Think about people like Elon Musk, who promotes and boosts the most divisive stuff on Twitter. Think about countries like Russia, China, Iran. They want to sow divisiveness in the United States, so they want to weaken cohesion and make people disillusioned. We have all of these people trying to sow division in the United States with young people who are already lost, already can't get a job. I mean, there is a statistic that young men who go to college and graduate are now finding jobs at the same exact rate as young men who just don't go to college at all. So it's like, well, what's the point then? That's a really weird incentive structure. So basically, to like wrap this all up in a bow, a lot of people are struggling, and not just young people. I'm speaking to the framework of a young person because I am one, but many people are struggling with this type of online radicalization. Someone in chat pointed out AI is making it worse. People have these bubbles around themselves that they don't pull down. If I had to bet money, Tyler Robinson, the Charlie Kirk shooter, likely had bubble around himself, metaphorically, that he just never really broke out of, never really got socialized more after COVID. Yeah. And this is all compounding into making a really, really scary environment. And you know who I blame it a lot on, most on, 99% on, is Donald Trump. There is no both sides to this shit. There is no Democratic equivalent of the way that Donald Trump ramps up the tension in our politics. I know that we had a discussion trying to hold people to our side and account with the stage stuff, but I don't want people to ever think that we're trying to both sides it. Hell no, there is no both sides to this. The Republican Party is despicable with the way they create and sow radicalization and fear in America. I find it despicable. And Mike, let's continue to do these live streams. So the 1,800 people watching, if you want to support.
Do you mind if I add something to the end of that? Because I think everything you just said is really well said. I the only slight pushback I have is like, I think that Trump remains a symptom of the problem.
Yeah,
and the problem exists far beyond it. Now he's like the most glaring, like he's the tumor, right? But the tumor was caused by sugar, right? Or whatever it is. And it's just the tech companies have intentionally removed community and friction from our lives in a way that humanity is not ready for, which has created those bubbles. And then Congress's lack of action has created so much damage for people. And you hear these stories about young kids who are hurting themselves. You hear these stories about these hate groups that get started on Reddit and elsewhere. And it's just, it's a real problem. And it has led to Donald Trump, but like it will still be a problem after him. And what I worry about is that it keeps getting worse until we deal with the actual problem. And then the second thing I want to add, I just want to relate to you a bit. Like I'm an older guy. I'm almost 40 now. And I use the term death of despair. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but that's a death of like particularly like young men from like alcoholism, drug abuse, hurting themselves, that kind of thing. And those rates are through the roof, particularly for white men and coming around the COVID year, I darn near lost my life from weighing 600 pounds, not taking care of myself, having ideation. I can't use the terms. We'll put this up on YouTube later and they will knock us if I use the term that I want, but unalive, I think is the term that the kids use. And it was a scary time. It would have been really easy for me to like die of a heart attack or die of like drinking too much alcohol in my 20s or died of whatever. And I'm still here, but there are a lot of people that aren't. And Congress is not interested in dealing with that. And it just, it's not right that we're not addressing this stuff. And it leads to, I think, what happened last night. And we'll know more as we go, at least what happened to Charlie Kirk leads, what happened, everything. And we're spiraling out of control, particularly with young men. And I don't know that it's going to get better. And until we elect, we need new leadership at every level. We need new Democratic leadership. We need new Republican leadership. Like we gotta clean the House almost completely. Like I said this, I may have said this in our live yesterday, but it kind of feels like you're too young to remember this because you weren't even born yet. But like there was a year on SNL when the ratings were terrible and Lorne Michaels fired everybody but Eddie Murphy. And I feel like right now, if you're in the Senate or the House, you got to prove you're Eddie Murphy. Otherwise, get the fuck out. Because I'm tired of it. And you know, you can be good on TV. You can be good at creating a social media clip. But if you ain't getting anything done, if you ain't addressing the issues and using power the right way, I don't care. You're useless to me. So I'll end there. But I want to thank everybody. I'll close it out if it's okay, Adam. Just say thank you to everybody for being here. Make sure that you support Adam Mockler, Mike Nellis on Substack, YouTube, everywhere you get your show. Hit the like button and engage with the video. Leave a comment. Hype if you're watching it on YouTube. Like whatever you do to be a part of this, every little bit's an act of resistance. We're both building independent media companies to take down Donald Trump, to defeat this MAGA movement. And I really believe that we can. And it's a scary day in America today, but we will be okay if we keep pulling together, if we keep doing the hard work and having tough conversations like this one.
Love you guys. Peace out.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.